Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you see the map behind me just there? There's a big body of water. That's Rutland Water, which is the largest reservoir in the UK by volume, not by depth. So we're sort of like maybe 40 minutes from Leicester, kind of 2 hours north of London, like straight up. So, yeah.
They call that the Midlands.
Yeah, East Midlands, yeah.
Right.
So Birmingham's a bit further over that way.
Further
over to the west.
I have a Rutland Water story. We're now recording, by the way, but we'll take this bit out. I have a Rutland Water story. It's okay if you leave this in. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, no,
My wife and I were visiting her auntie in a place called St. Ives, just outside Cambridge.
Cambridge. Yeah, we ran through there the other day on the Harrowood Relay.
Right. So we went to Rutland Water for a visit. Now, this is when I didn't run. I did walk, but didn't do much more than that. And we decided to hire bikes and cycle around Rutland Water. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember the film star John Wayne. I was walking like John Wayne for about three days afterwards. Unbelievable. Because the mountain bikes never had, the bikes never had suspension like they've got nowadays. It was just a bike.
Yeah. With a
unbelievable.
Basket
with a basket on the front. We wearing jeans and a fleece. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's my just come flooding back. Yeah,
so. Good old days, hey. Yeah, I spent many a happy day cycling around Rutland Water as a kid because I'm from Coventry. I'm not actually from Stamford. I'm from Coventry originally, which is just south of Birmingham.
See, now I've got the specials and Terry Hall in my head. Now you're speaking about Coventry, so anyway.
Yeah, the specials. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, let's rock and roll with this.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that.
Okay.
So, which one? John takes over.
Yeah, you better get used to that.
Aye.
But he has got a lovely voice.
Right, okay. So, recording, season 7.
Am I doing, I'm welcoming Claire, am I?
Yes.
Claire, how do you say your surname?
Maxted.
Maxted?
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure.
Okay. We're like that.
You
like to get things right, yeah. So, recording season 7, episode 7, with Claire Maxted in 3, 2, 1.
A big welcome to the Young Hearts Run Free podcast. Claire Maxted, how are we doing today?
Yeah, great, thanks, Steve. It's great to be on with you guys. I love the Young Hearts Run Free podcast, and you've accompanied me on many a long run, so thanks for that. It's nice to be sitting opposite the dulcet tones of two guys who can chat entertainingly for a long time.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Well, at least one guy who can chat entertainingly. I'm not sure about the other. But no, thank you very much for agreeing to come on the podcast. We've been really looking forward to catching up with you, hearing all about all the exciting stuff that you get up to. All that will transpire over the course of the next hour or so. he says, or so, because he knows from experience, well, just how good talkers we are, shall we say. Yeah. But we like to just get to know our guests a wee bit better to start off with. So we always start off with hearing a wee bit about your running story. How did you get to where you are now?
Well, it is a bit of a weird story because I used to actually hate running. I was phobic of running at school. At school they used to just like make you run house cross country in the freezing cold, and then the sports day would always be on like the most hot, boiling hot day of the year around a track with no shade. And then every week I'd live in fear and total dread of this thing called the bleep test, where there was bleeps on this tape. It was tapes back in those days. And you used to have to run from one side of the hall to the other before the bleep sound. And then you'd get this score out of, I don't know, like some people used to be able to run up to like 14, number 14 or whatever that was. And it was just horrendous. And being a ginger person, I used to go bright red immediately. And all the boys would point and laugh at me and go, oh, climax has gone red already. And age 13 to 15, that's not what you want here, is it? You want to be like svelte and gorgeous, don't you? Well, I was none of those things. So I hated running. I tried to do it as little as possible. And then at university, I started to enjoy the beer, let's say. So I sort of put on a little bit of weight and I thought, oh, running's easy. It's like the easiest, freest thing you can do. Don't have to be in a gym or anything. So I decided I would go for a run. And I was stressing out. I was like phobic. I was like fear, like heart was beating fast. I was getting sweaty palms just thinking of going for this run. So I thought I would address my running phobia in the same way that people might address a fear of spiders or something like that. So I just thought, well, they gradually expose themselves to like bigger and bigger spiders, don't they? So I'll gradually expose myself to like longer and longer runs, and I'll just go really slowly. And I remember running for 20 minutes once and being really happy with myself that I'd managed to run for 20 minutes. Like, I wasn't like really, like really overweight or really unfit or anything like that. I did biking, hiking, rock climbing, stuff like that. I was active and I was swimming as well, but I really hated running. So it's just really ironic that I've gone from hating running to editing a magazine about running and then writing a book about running. It's ridiculous, but I wish that other people had not had that introduction to running that I had at school, because running was really, it was always a competition. It was always hard work. It was always a time of year when it was really horrible to run, like midsummer or midwinter. And it just wasn't a fun thing to do. It was like you dreaded it. It was torture. And I just wish that there had been trail running as I know it now when I was at school, because I think I would have really enjoyed that. I joined the hiking society when I was at school. We used to do these really long hikes. I hiked 50 miles when I was 17 once on the Tour de Trigues, and we actually won the under 18s category for it because we did it in a certain amount of hours. And I really enjoyed doing stuff like that. And trail running is just like that, but sped up, isn't it? It's just hiking in the mountains, but sped up. So I just, yeah, maybe I should go and do talks in schools or something, because I really feel like 15-year-old girls especially, they just drop out of sport, don't they? And that's exactly what I did. Yeah, mainly for vanity. The reasons of vanity.
Stephen and I have never discussed this. Stephen, school days. Because Stephen, I'm 57. You probably divulge your age, Stephen?
Me, I'm 10 years your junior, John.
Right, so 10 years, quite a bit of difference. We also went to different schools. But how...
Different but close.
Different but close, just across the road. But how was school for you with that? Because I remember when you were speaking there, Claire, I remember cross country and thinking, oh my God, it's a long way. You never knew. And I now know it was out the back door of the school, around the North Inch and back. That was cross country for us. But it seemed like, oh, 10 miles. It wasn't, obviously, but yeah. Then it did. I played football as a kid. I was all right at football, but I was never fast. So, and as you say, you put a group of young guys in shorts and vests. It's a race. People want to win. I was never going to win. I was always at the tail end. Stephen, how did you feel about running at school?
Yeah, I was getting flashbacks there when Claire was telling her story. And yeah, similar. I wasn't a runner at school. I played football, football rather, and yeah, I also wasn't fast nor athletic, and I'd shy away from cross country or dread it. And you're right, though, it was always in sort of January, February time, if I recall rightly, and it was just a miserable experience, and they were kind of sent on this route, and it was almost like there was always a few fast kids, and they were doing it in like, you know, 12 minutes 32 seconds, and I'd be like 27 minutes 32 seconds or whatever. And I don't even know what the distance was. It would maybe be like 2 miles or something. I don't know. But yeah, definitely. I like the thought of sped up hiking. That's more marketable, isn't it? Trail running.
Yeah.
Sped up hiking.
Yeah. It just seemed like everything at school was a competition, wasn't it? And that's fine for about 10 kids at the front that are like, let's go. But for all the others, it makes you feel like a failure. And I wasn't even particularly that bad. I came 10th one year out of about 100 people. So I wasn't even that, or maybe it was 15th. I can't remember. I wasn't even that bad at it, and I still felt rubbish. So imagine if you're at the back, like slightly overweight and not really sporty, you feel even worse. So yeah, it was horrible. But yeah, I just, since I started running at uni, and then I got my first job was on Trail, the hiking magazine. So I was doing a lot of hiking at that point. And then I found out about fell running, you know, like where they fling themselves up these huge hills and then run down again, falling over in the process. And I just thought that was wonderful. So I remember one February, my auntie and uncle lived in the Lake District at that point, and I went to visit them one weekend, and I took a bum bag that they had, put some snacks in and a bottle of water, and I ran up Latrick, which is a tiny, tiny mountain just below Skidder in the Lake District. And I remember I couldn't run. It's quite steep, so, you know, probably even the pros are sort of, you know, hands on knees, power walking up. And so I was just jogging up there, and it was February. And I remember it was really frosty on the way down, and I just skidded over on my bum just in front of these two walkers. And I expected them to sort of say, are you all right? But they just looked at me as if I was completely out of my mind, and then just walked off. So I was like, well, trail running seems a bit hard. So I sort of, I feel like trail running bridges the gap between trail and foul running. So when the editor of Trail Running back then, Matt Swain, he said, oh, there's an opportunity to start a trail running magazine, Claire. Would you edit it as part of your ongoing development as a writer and as a production person? So I just sort of, I was the only person that was doing a bit of running back then on the magazines, because I'd also, so after the failed fell running experience, I signed up to some trail races. It was something called the Lakeland Trails, which was it was kind of a new concept back then. This was probably, just before, it's like 2009, maybe 2008, 2009. And they were routes that were fully waymarked. So it was like a road race, but fully waymarked. And we'd all set it up, and we run around the mountains, not like up and then down again with no path. There was always a path, and it was always waymarked. There was lots of marshals, and there was this drumming band at the start to G everyone up. And there was bouncy castle and ice cream for the kids at the end. And that sort of was me finding, yes, this is what running's about. That we were all running off in this gaggle of runners. We were walking up the hills. We were looking at the views. Some people were stopping to take pictures, and then we were like bombing it down the hills. And it was just really fun. And I thought, wow, if I'd have done this when I was 15, that would have been really fun, just walking up the hills and then running down the hills and just having a laugh. None of this competitive, oh, who's first, who's second, who's third, knees up business. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into running. And yeah, all of a sudden I was editing a running magazine with no previous experience at all. I very much learnt on the job, but it was really good. I had so many fantastic opportunities there.
A gaggle of runners. There's a term.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a term that a gaggle of runners, is that official? Is that?
No, it's not official. And there's other contentions for the title. So I don't know if you've heard of a girl called Anna McNuff. She's a similar age to me, and she's just written a book called Barefoot Britain. And it's all about her run all the way from the Shetland Islands down to Gloucester, where she lives, and then back to London, where she's from. She did it all barefoot, and she's written a book about it. And I supported her around the Coventry area, which is where I'm from. And she calls it a fandango of runners, because she likes like the party mood and the dance of it. So she calls it a fandango of runners.
I think we need to list
this discussion the other.
Yeah,
definitely, John. Because we had the same discussion. I had a trail running group out the other week, and I was running up to them with a couple others. And you know how when you're on that group trail run, everybody kind of congregates and waits and get back together. And everybody's got the luminous jackets on, and they're really quite eye catching. I was like that to the guys I was running with. What do we call a group of runners? Like, what is especially a group of trail runners? Because it's a different name for a group of road runners. We know what we call them. That's probably not.
What do we call them? Can we not repeat it?
Lots of things. All derogatory. Digest. But yeah, a gaggle of trail runners. We welcome more suggestions.
Yeah, please do write in.
Sorry to take over. Right in.
Yeah, find my YouTube channel and write a comment on it. I really want to know what people call a group of runners.
I'm getting drawn to fandango. I quite like a fandango, but anyway.
I thought you'd like a fandango.
So you mentioned a few things there, Claire. I also think I'm a big thumbs up to you going and speaking in schools. I think it's a great idea to encourage people to remain in sport and keep their interest in sport. What would you say is your favourite distance, though?
Personally, about 50k, I think. So you can call yourself an ultra runner, but you're only really just running over a marathon. And in the hills, that can be a full day out. For example, the Manx Mountain Marathon that I'm actually doing again for the first time in 10 years this April, that took me, I think, probably like 8 or 10 hours. I can't remember what it took, maybe 8 hours. So it's a full day out. And it's just a really nice full day out in the mountains. You're hiking, you're running, you're taking photos, making a film, if you're me. And I really like that distance. So I'm also down to do the Ultra Tour of Snowdonia as well, the 50K version, about a month after as well. So I've got two 50Ks lined up this year before the biggie.
Brilliant.
Somebody else is doing that we spoke to, John. Can you remember?
Mel Sykes is doing the Ultra Trail of Snowdonia.
Oh.
Yeah, she's doing that. So
I'll have to see her there.
But wait a minute. Can I just wind clock back a wee bit? You don't just discover 50k is your favourite distance. You hopefully built up to that through your spider analogy actually earlier around about pushing your distances further and further. So like, how did you arrive at 50k being your fave?
Yeah, well, so what's the tarantula of the experience? So I suppose that would be probably multi-day races and the Bob Graham round. So I just decided there was a lot of hype around the Bob Graham round because the record, Billy's record, hadn't been broken for 39 years, I think it was, in the end, until Killian came over. This was pre that. I just did it over 4 days and then I just decided I'll go for it. So I hadn't run more than 15 miles in one go. And then I went 15, 21, 38, 42, and then I did the Bob Graham. I did all those distances, but I was always in the mountains. I was always recce-ing. I was doing like 5 to 9 hour recce-es of the Bob Graham. I actually didn't complete it in the 24 hours that you do to get in the club. It took me 26 and a half hours. So, I'm not in the club, but I definitely still did the Bob Graham round all in one go. And it was probably one of the hardest runs that I've done in my life. But there was a lot of hiking, to be honest, involved. There was not a lot of running. Maybe down, a lot of running. And the last mile, I gave it some welly on the last mile.
Of course.
I just remember my sister, she's not... Yeah, down the street. My sister isn't really into mountain running. Well, she wasn't into running at all back then. This is 10 years ago now, when I was 30. And she was running along. We were just going through Portinscale, which is the last little village before you go on to like go towards Keswick High Street. And there was a big puddle. And bear in mind, I've been running through the mountains for about 65 miles at this point, through bogs and rocks and mud and puddles and everything. she was like, oh, mind out for the puddle. And she sort of guided me around this puddle. And I was like, I've just been running for 65 miles. I do not want to be guided around. No, make nothing further. Don't make anything further. So I just plowed through this puddle, splashing everyone, and then plowed on. And she said afterwards that it was so funny that she thought that I'd be worried about getting my feet wet on the last mile. But it's just if you're not a mountain person, then you wouldn't really realise, would you? But that's always been, something we rib each other about now.
We should take a pause here and say congratulations on your Bob Graham round.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Well, I sometimes think, maybe I should try and do it again now that I'm older and wiser. Or maybe I should try and train up and do it again and get under the 24 hours, because there's not that many women in the Bob Graham Club compared to men. So I kind of feel like I should try and represent. But I don't know. I think I'd need to go and live in the Lake District for a bit to do it, because it's not just about doing it, it's about getting the weather conditions to do it and all the people out on that day. And I sort of, it was really bad weather when I did it. That's my excuse. Really terrible weather. Almost got hypothermia. So for me, I would need the perfect day to be able to get around it.
Well, there's a film title there. The perfect day.
The perfect day. It's
become more in my awareness over the last 7-8 years about people doing these rounds. And it's all about, what's that term we've spoke about, Stephen? It's about getting your lines right, isn't it? Your lines, your ups and your downs, and picking the right way. Yeah.
Now, I mean, back even when I, 10 years ago, when I did the Bob Graham round, there was trods and things, you know, that people had sort of gone on. But since, since all the hype over Killian doing it, and, Jasmine Paris, Nikki Spinks, Beth Pascal, and then this new guy, Jack Kenzel, it must be a runway now. I remember talking to Billy and he was like, it's not the round it was, because when he was doing it, half of it was a bog. You didn't know which way to go because there wasn't a big trod there. And now he said it's just runways all the way around. So it's different in that sense too.
I'll give it another 10 years and it'll be fine. Right.
It'll be tarmacked by then, John.
Yeah, it'll be tarmacked, then. Yeah. Be easy. There'll be stair lifts as well, and, escalators up all the mountains.
Would you say that's your toughest challenge you've faced?
Running-wise, it's the toughest one that I've actually completed. The toughest one that I haven't completed is the Cape Bath Ultra, which is... that was 250 odd miles from Fort William to the very northwest tip of Scotland. Of course, Scottish people, you know what I'm talking about. So that was good. I did 5 days out of the 8 days of that because I just got really bad blisters on my feet, and it felt like I was walking on knives with a bee stinging my little toe at every point. So I was just really miserable, and I was walking through Torridon, and it was absolutely beautiful weather. Not a cloud in the sky, blue backdrop. Is it Sylvan over there? These beautiful mountains, they rise up, don't they, from this beautiful flat plain, and then there's just these blob mountains, and it was just stunning. And there's me moaning about my feet, and I was just like, oh, I don't want to be moaning about my feet. I want to enjoy this. So I dropped out for 3 days, and then I did the last day, which was across Sandwood Bay, which was absolutely beautiful, and then Cape Wrath Lighthouse at the end. So that was fantastic. So for me, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to do that trip, was to see that lighthouse and to get there. So doing the last day was really good for me. I wish I'd been fit enough to do the whole thing, but it was just too hard. It was 40 miles on some days, and that's a good day out in itself, isn't it? It was really hard work.
It's
hard quitting as well. It took me about a year to make the film because I was kind of embarrassed about quitting. And, if it had been life or death, I could have continued. It was just because I was in pain that I didn't want to continue. So I felt a bit like a namby-pamby. But at the same time, life's too short, isn't it, to do things you're not enjoying. I kind of feel like, if you're fleeing from a war, then you've got a right to complain about stuff. But if you're, a middle-class white person from a great background that's had a good education, and you're moaning about your feet because of something you decided to do, I just don't think that's really on. So I decided to call it a day and become a nice person again and not miserable.
Yeah. It's always preferable when we're nice, isn't it? Definitely. Yeah. For our own well-being as well as everybody else's as well.
Yeah.
I just noticed today, just when you're mentioning the Cape Wrath Trail, that we had a guest on, Rebecca Brennan, who set an FKT on the Cape Wrath Trail.
Yes.
And she's just received an award.
Wow.
Just yesterday, to honour that as well. And I think as well, she raised over 14 grand. She was raising money. I think it was breast cancer research. She was doing that. So well done to Rebecca. I hope you're listening to hear this. So the Cape Wrath Trail, has it left you with a niche that needs scratched, or are you quite comfortable? You're not going back there?
Yeah, unfinished business. It would be nice to complete the whole trail, but within the framework of that race, I think that is too difficult for me. Yeah, I would. Like, in an ideal world, I'd just do things like that all the time and not earn any money. It'd be brilliant. Or maybe raise some money for charity along the way. But there's so many other things that I want to do. So I do feel like, even though I didn't do all the race, I did go on the minibus, so I saw the mountainside, and then we were camping, so I was in the mountainside. So I do feel like I've done that part of the world. I would definitely go back to Torridon, though, and do some like nice day walks and stuff around there. It is just absolutely beautiful around there, like Ullapool as well. Like, I did an OM around that area once, and it was just fantastic, really, really beautiful. But I kind of really want to do the GR20, and it'd be quite cool to do the UTMB, Ultra Tour du Mont Blanc, not necessarily the race, but just do it over like 6 days and enjoy it. I'm really up for these, like, going for a week long running things and doing, like, you know, like anything up to kind of 20 miles a day might be doable. I did, I went around the Isle of Man in 2019 on the Radnor Follen coast path, which means Way of the Gull, and it's this beautiful sneaky path along the cliff tops all the way around the Isle of Man, and it's dead easy to follow. It's about 100 miles in length, so you can easily do it over 6 days, or like even less if you're a really, really fast runner, or 2 weeks if you want to hike it. And there's one stretch which is like 20 miles of pure beach, which is amazing, towards this lighthouse which never gets any nearer. You see it forever. And it's just, I really recommend that, because the people on the Isle of Man are just great crack. Like, they're great people. That's why I'm going over again to do the Manx Mountain Marathon 50k, because I just love the place so much. I'm actually taking Steve and Finley back with me. My Steve, not you, Steve.
I wish I had my hopes up there.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. But the other toughest challenge I've ever faced, just talking about toughest challenges, is not been a race it's not been a race or an ultra or anything. It's been actually being pregnant, and like, you know, the it's a bit painful to run, and I needed a wee all the time. And then I couldn't run for the last month, so that was annoying. And then after giving birth, I couldn't run for weeing myself for about 4 months. And it was really frustrating, and it was really sleep deprived. And then once I could start running again, I did like really short distances. But I wasn't even the whole of 2021. I wasn't really running much at all. And it's only been this year that I've been able to not be too tired and exhausted to carry on running. And you see on Instagram, like, all these elite athletes that have bounced back within 6 weeks, and they're like running, like Katie Carr Saberstein, she's off winning races. And Jasmine Paris, she's like doing the Spine race and beating all the men. And you're just like, oh my God, I can't even run like 5 miles. I can't even run around the block. So that, I think, has been the toughest challenge in my view of running, because like doing the Bob Graham or doing the Cape Wrath Ultra is just about the running. It's not about anything else. It's just you and the running, and the, you know, eat a bit, plod on, eat, plod, don't go the wrong way. But having a baby is just like rips your body apart. Then you've got to put it back together again, and you're just exhausted from sleep deprivation. You've got this whole other life to juggle around yours and your work. So I think that's been the toughest challenge so far. But now that he's 2 and he's in nursery, I've kind of got it back together again. So I'm actually planning to run the Montane Lakeland 100 in July. So, yeah, bounce back in two and a half years it's took me to bounce back. I reckon that's okay.
The toughest challenge, but the greatest reward.
Yeah, he's lovely. Yeah, even when he woke up at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah. And I can imagine, as you were describing, being pregnant and then giving birth and coming back, all of our female listeners going, right on, sister. Because they all know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Us guys, maybe not so much, but it
you
is.
You were presumably there in the room, though.
Yes, I was there, smiling.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was testing a new watch at the time, a Coros watch, so I actually Strava'd my labour. So it was about 35 hours. And the watch lasted. It was very good. I was impressed.
Brilliant. And that's one segment that nobody will ever claim. So,
no, exactly.
Well done,
nobody
Claire.
Else has got
well
pacing done. Up and down in Peterborough Hospital.
Thorough gear testing there by Wild Ginger Running.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
Extreme testing.
Heart rate. What's your heart rate at that moment?
Yeah.
Spot the peak. It's a contraction.
Yeah, spot when I was actually pushing him out.
Oh, man. I've not faced this challenge quite as tough as that one, John. So
no, neither. I'm not even going to pretend I've been anywhere close to that.
I think that's why men do these. You know how it's mostly men that do the really long ultras. Like overall, it's mostly men. It's like 80% men, isn't it? Some races. Now some races are getting closer to 50-50, and some have even achieved that, which is great. But I think that's one of the reasons why men sign up to do all these like really tough things, and they try and prove how tough they are because they don't have childbirth to just have to do and have to suck up. So they're like. Need to prove themselves in other areas, I think. That's just my a small theory.
Yeah, but listen, they can try as many races as they like. They're never going to be as tough as that. So
I would rather do any of those races again. I'd rather do all of that over again than ever be pregnant or give birth or have post-birth again.
I think that the female of the species' ability to endure purgatory on ultramarathons is partly because of that.
Maybe. Although I was a bit disappointed in myself on Cape Wrath Ultra because I was in pain now and I was like, oh, well, I could take this but I could just stop. But that was more to do with not wanting to moan loads and wanting to be happy. I used to put myself through a lot more.
Maybe there was
a mini bus winking at you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Maybe if that pain had been somewhere else apart from your feet, it may have made a different story. But every single step, and you mentioned like be nice in your feet. And you know, we've discussed this before. I think we discussed it first of all with Debbie Martin Kinsani. We're speaking about is it male or female who are able to handle pain better? I certainly believe it's females are able to do that. And I think that's coming to the fore with regards to ultramarathons as well. We're seeing that it's not just a case of there's a men's field and there's a women's field. There's a field.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, so, and it's great. I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we go doing that big gender battle, I'm not going to do the big gender battle.
I think men are, I'm sure men are equal at taking pain than women because I don't think that I'm great at taking pain after having the experience of childbirth. I'm definitely not good at taking pain. Men will never have the opportunity, which is a shame.
But see, we all keep on going back to the next ultra marathon, knowing the pain that we're going to have to endure.
Yeah, but we don't keep going back to the next kid, do we? I'll do another ultra, I'm not going to have another kid.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, John, I was going to say, I want to get delved into Wild Ginger Running because I know that Claire reviews trainers.
Yes, I do. I've got a whole pile of trainers behind me.
We'll do a separate podcast all on that, Claire, because I'm sure I could speak to you for hours about that subject. But yeah, Claire has got a pile of trainers sitting behind her. It's not a fake backdrop.
It's about
like mine.
25 there.
It's a real backdrop, 25. So Wild Ginger Running, this is your chance to tell us a wee bit about that story and spread the word about all the wonderful things that you do and have published.
Yes, I have actually got the book here. So Wild Ginger Running is my YouTube channel, and it's basically trail running magazine but in YouTube form. So I interview elite athletes and coaches on like live chats, and then I make it into a podcast afterwards. And then I also do tips and advice, like training advice, nutrition, and gear tests as well. So if you need to know anything about trail running or ultra running. The best way to find out if I've covered it or if I've got any information on it is to Google that query, and then after the query just write Wild Ginger Running, and it should come up with all the films or blog posts that I've ever done on that topic. So like, say if you wanted to find out about ultra running shoes or wide fit shoes, for example, just type in wide fit shoes, Wild Ginger Running, and it will come up with my latest review of the top four wide fit running shoes. So yeah, it's a really enjoyable thing to do. It's funded by patrons. So every month we have a competition to win £400 worth of trail and ultra running gear. So I draw the names out of the hat in a live broadcast. And if you're only patrons are entered into that. So there's about 100 patrons at the moment. So usually if you're a patron for like a few years, you'll win something at least. And prizes range from like really super duper head torches to books to lots of other things like backpacks, the odd trail running shoe finds its way in there, quite a lot of ultra running nutrition, and they get discounts as well, like special discounts on I've got stuff on Chia Charge at the moment, and some chocolate as well, 18 Noir Ultra Chocolate, and there's a special Innovate discount as well, which I'm not allowed to share with anyone else but patrons. So yeah, there's perks. I also do the odd patron, just like the odd patron film, like behind the scenes. And patrons also have a sort of a say. The higher paying patrons get a say in what I cover on the YouTube channel. And also they can just ask me any questions. I'm a qualified personal trainer as well. So they can ask me any questions at any point. So if anybody likes the channel and appreciates the gear reviews or it's helped them choose anything, then they should consider becoming a patron just to keep the channel going, because if all the patrons disappeared, I wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you to all my patrons. If any of them are listening to this, I really appreciate it.
Brilliant.
A magazine version of the trail, no, a YouTube version of the trail running magazine.
I left the magazine because I just saw like the trail running magazine has actually died now. It died in November. They closed it. Paper costs went up after COVID. It's all very sad. Quite a few magazines are closing at the moment as well, at Bow Media, which owned it all. But I could see that coming. So I thought, right, I'm going to leap off now and I am going to start my own YouTube channel. And I've also written a book, which is called The Ultimate Trail Running Handbook. And it's about it's everything you need to know to get from 5K off-road to 50K off-road, which is just over the marathon distance and my favourite distance. So there's training plans, recipes, nutrition advice, trail hacks as you go through the book, like little top tips. There's advice from top coaches, elite athletes, and stories from normal runners throughout the book as well to inspire you. There's great races to do. There's navigation. There's how to get fit, confident, technique. Skills advice, everything you need to know really is in the book. And if it's not, then do let me know, because I'm currently writing the next one, which is called The Ultimate Ultra Running Handbook, and then I could do an update and put it in the Ultra Running Handbook, because it's going to be a bit like this book but on steroids. And there's going to be more about eco-friendly stuff as well, because since this book's come out, there's been loads more stuff set up, like the green runners and things like that, and I'm really into just trying to, you know, help the environment as much as possible. So I'm going to do a bit more on the environment in the next book.
When we knew we were going to be speaking with you, Claire, I Googled that book. And I ended up, I'm not sure what website it was on, but there was a little description of the book. And the last sentence is, if you're a trail runner or would like to become one, this book is your new best friend.
Oh,
and all the stuff that you've just described in there about navigation, about gear, about nutrition, these are all the things that people have got loads of questions about, you know. So we'll certainly include in our show notes the link to wildgingerrunning.co.uk. And what I like, I've been on the website as well as part of our world famous research that we do at Young Hearts Run Free. And it's really, really well laid out, the website. You know, the categories at the top, it's easy to navigate. As you say, you can Google it from the very start of your web browsing. But I think there's so much in there. Some of the what I would do recommend is go to the interview section. I end up there quite a lot, and there's some great tips and words from some legends of the sport, both female and male. So spend a wee bit of time in there. It's one of the rabbit holes you might end up on a Thursday or a Friday evening. That's where I probably end up. So it's a great resource. So thank you very much for putting that together.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to help people because of coming from a background of hating running myself. I just wanted to help people get into trail running, because so often they don't even know what trail running is and how they should go about doing it. And it seems obvious if you're a hiker, it is very obvious how to plan a route and everything and how to just not hike it, but run it. But, you know, if you've never done it before, you need handholding. I've had lots of people say to me, oh, it's not rocket science. But of course it's not rocket science to you. You already know it. But if people don't know anything, it's like me, like if I wanted to play the tuba, where would I start? I'd go on YouTube and I'd follow a video.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's only simple if you know the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not, yeah. So are you confident to say you've got over your phobia of running now?
Yes, I think I have. I have. I actually really like running now. I do get a little bit nervous if I'm going to try for a fast park run time or something like that. But it's nothing like it was. Oh, my goodness. I would be like, oh, sweaty. But, you know, like that horrible, horrible butterflies feeling. Not the nice butterflies feeling, but like a horrible, thick butterflies, nervous feeling. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah. We're not putting this out as video. We'll put this out as audio. But Stephen squirmed there when you spoke about park run.
done a park run,
it's harder than an ultra, isn't it, park run? Well, if you're going to go for it really hardcore.
In fact, I vow to do a park run sometime. I don't say when, I'm not sure what year.
But I'm sure it was this year, but it's only January, man. You got plenty of time.
The whole running journey is building up to this park run appearance. At some point I shall face the discomfort zone.
Yeah, well, if you run to parkrun from somewhere and then run parkrun, you have an excuse not to run fast.
Okay, that parkrun sandwich.
Yeah, parkrun sandwich.
The parkrun sandwich. Now we're talking food to John. John's eyes and ears have just perked up.
Well, you know what? And let's open up an umbrella question here, right? You've just spoken about the amount of things that Claire has behind her, and Claire was talking about some of the discount stuff that you have as well. So you can give two or three answers to this one, Claire, but do you have, this is a tough question for somebody in your position, do you have a favourite piece of running kit? Also, what is Claire Maxted's favourite nutrition option whilst running?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Well, both of those are tricky, aren't they? Favourite piece of kit that I've ever had. Do you know what? I'm going to like be controversial and say it's my Patagonia pants. So I've got these pants from Patagonia. I got them probably on Trail Magazine at least 10 years ago. I'm sure I used them on the Bob Graham. No, I used them in Kyrgyzstan as well. That must be 2006 probably I got them. And they've just lasted forever. I bought some pants in white stuff the other day. They're already, the elastic's pinging apart.
Right. Can I clarify pants? Some people
trousers
pants. You're talking underpants.
Underpants, yes.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, so they are they're two pairs of black ones and one pair of light blue ones with a pattern on. And they're just brilliant. They wick. They dry quickly. Like, you can take them camping with you and wash them and they'll dry, like, in your sleeping bag overnight if you rinse all the water out. And they're just brilliant for running. I always wear them running, especially for an ultra, because, like, normal pants have a seam in them, don't they, and they could chafe. But if they're just cotton, then they don't dry quickly and you'll get chafing down there. So the pants is a really good one. I also really
16-year-old Patagonia pants.
Yeah, I should write to them because Patagonia is a really sustainable company.
Yeah.
So they do make things to last, and I really appreciate things that are made to last. So I really like that. I really like the Camelback Ultra Pro 7-meter running pack. I really like that. It's just the perfect size for day running. And I really like that my Howie's 3/4 length leggings, they've lasted for ages as well. I've sewn them up down like at the crotch several times now, but they have lasted for ages. I do like to kind of repair things. In one sense, I'm not a very good gear tester because even though I'm very sort of opinionated about gear and how it should be, once I've got a piece of gear that works really well, I don't want to change it and I don't want to test anything else. So it's like a real wrench for me to wear something different. If left to my own devices, I would just wear the same thing forever and ever until it got holes in. Then I'd sew the holes up and then I'd wear it again until it literally was nothing there anymore. So yeah, I really appreciate clothes that last a long time. Yeah. So yeah, those three things.
I've got Patagonia boxers got, I think, maybe about a year ago, and they've already probably taken top spot in my favourite pants sort of top 10.
Cool.
And John is also a purveyor of fine pants as well. His chosen brand is Columbia. Let's just mention all these brands so that we can tag them in, so that John can get free undercarriage obliterator toppers. So yeah, three for the price of one there, John.
Brilliant. The subject of pants is really important for every single runner out there, because of the things that Claire just mentioned. You mentioned the word chafing. That's an issue for every single runner out there.
It's
so
a race ending situation.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit hot topic.
Yeah.
Literally.
Second part of that question. Claire's been thinking as we've been chatting. I can see her brain ticking over, saying food, what's my favourite go-to food? This is an important question for the Young Hearts Run Free boys.
Oh,
we like our scran. Sorry, our food.
Oh, yes, scran. I know the word scran because I worked with a photographer who was Scottish the other year. Well, I eat anything, really. At the moment, like the other day, I forgot to take food, went to a newsagent, got a Boost bar. But Morton, it's very expensive, but very, very good. I don't like gels at all. Morton gels, I can have. They are good. They taste slightly honey-y and of nothing else. They're not really, really sweet and horrible like a lot of gels are. Like all other gels that I've tried, they're sort of jelly consistency as well, so they come out and it's like eating some sort of mushed up jelly rather than it all squirting out like a bit of a like a jam kind of thing. It's not jam, it's more of a jelly. Yeah.
And is that what makes it preferable for you, that consistency?
Because that means you can eat a bit and then fold it over and put it back in your pack without it all squirting everywhere. It's not so much the consistency, but just the taste, really, actually. The taste is just very neutral, I would describe it as. Eliud Kipchoge actually uses it, and Killian Dornett as well. He uses it. So if they like it, it must be good. So yeah, I really like them. I really like Chia Chai.
They probably don't need to remortgage their house, though.
I know, that's a shame. I did have Morton goodie bag every month on my Patreon competition. I had it, but we finished it now because it was just for this last year. But they're going to be doing a few prizes in the coming months with new products that they've got coming out. They have got a solid product out as well now, which I haven't tried, that I keep emailing them saying, I need to try this and review it. But they haven't taken the bait yet.
But Kipchoge, Johnny, and Max did. That's not a bad trio of testimonials for Morton,
exactly.
Is it? You know,
exactly.
That's quite good. I've never tried Morton. I think it's because of the cost, if I'm honest. You know?
Never bought it. It's just the free samples that they've given me. So I'm down to like my last three free samples. So I'm hanging on to them. I'm like, well, I'll just use this Boost bar for the minute.
Boost bars are a fine substitute. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sugar, isn't it? You just need sugar. There's any old thing. I've been known to clutch a quiche during a 42-mile race. I've just been eating a quiche, running through Howtown with a quiche in my hands, moaning slightly. I've made a brie and family a brie sandwich in a pitter on a mountain marathon.
I'm going to ask, because John will ask, what kind of, he wants to know what kind of quiche it was. Was it cheese and onion? Was it a quiche warain?
It would have been a mixed roasted vegetable quiche. Yeah, because I wouldn't have taken a meat one because I would have been worried about whether it would go off or not.
Okay.
So I would have just taken a veggie one. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's
good. Yeah. It's a winter race. It's like early April, that race. So it was quite cold anyway. It's called the Lakes Mountains 42. It's a very good low-key race you have to navigate.
No, you know what?
Race tips here.
Definitely. We've mentioned as well, or you've mentioned, sorry, Claire, a lot of events and that's coming up. But let's just clarify that again. What's happening for Claire in 2023? How does the timeline work?
Oh, it's a Manx Mountain Marathon on the 8th of April. And then I think it's the 14th of May. I've got the UTS, Ultra Tour of Snowdonia, 50K. And then I've got our race, which is the Neen Valley. I don't run this race. I organise the race. The Neen Valley Trails 10 and 20 milers. That's in June the 3rd. If anybody wants to do a race locally to me near Stamford, it's in Fotheringhay, which is a bit just south of Peterborough. That's 10 and 20 miles. And then in July, I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, doing the Montane Lakeland 100. Montane hopefully are giving me a place and I've got to film it for them. So that will be exciting because not only do I have to train for running, but I have to train for running and filming as well. So like your arm, you need a good arm.
Yeah, and assuming you do that, you're talking about filming, are you going to, is that about filming your experience or are you filming speaking to other people too, or what's the criteria?
I mean, not everyone wants some enthusiastic ginger person chatting to them during the race. So if they seem like they're up for it, then I'll video some people as well. I'll interview people around along the way. But it's mainly going to be an experience of like how I'm doing it. I'm going to the mountains. My mum and dad are having Finley for a few days at the start of every month, so I'm able to go to the mountains every month, and I'm making films of the training as well as we go along. So if you start following my channel now, there's going to be a lot of information about ultra training at the moment, because I'm finding out personally, like, I've never run 100 miles before. The most I've done is the Bob Graham, so that's 65 miles. I've done lots of multi-day races as well, and like lots of 40s, loads of marathon-y type 30-mile stuff, 50K. So I need to get this 100, at least I need to try to do it, so that when I write my next book about ultra running, then I'll at least have tried. If I don't succeed, then it's fine. There's enough people that I can get on board to help me to do that 100 miler section, but I would really like the experience of it myself.
You'll definitely get that experience at Lakeland, and it'll definitely be over 100 miles, as we know that's the secret.
Oh yeah, it's 105, isn't it?
Weight doesn't PR so even, much.
If you were going to be taking on the 100 mile, this isn't a challenge. If you were going to be taking on the 100 mile Lakeland, what time would you go for chips in Coniston in the afternoon?
I think I'll need the whole 40 hours of the race. I'll be heading off for chips at lunchtime.
Yeah, so you need to correlate your arrival time in Coniston with the opening hours of the chip shop.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that should start. Should probably be the main
goal.
Line one of the objectives is arrive in Coniston at opening hours of chip shop.
Yes.
Preferred number one ranked chip shop and TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
Tick. And then just build all your other race weekend plans around that. And you'll have nailed it.
Yeah, well,
we've got 2 years of experience of this now.
Yeah.
We've been down the 50. The first year we never got near the chip shop. We couldn't get close to it. So this year we were successful. We watched the start of the Lakeland 100 taking off, coming up the hill.
On the Friday.
And then, and then we had our chips. We had a rare weekend.
Brilliant.
We almost had a water boy though standing in the queue for us, didn't we, John Rob?
Yeah, we did.
Whilst we got to watch the race start, he kept the place in the queue of the chip shop in that hall.
He was very kind. Big shout out to JR.
He did. Oh, that's exciting because, and it'll not be one of those events where you look at it and it's, I was trying to get 100 and I've got 99.8 miles on my watch. He's made sure it's 105, so you'll definitely get that 100.
it's like Britain's answer to the UTMB, isn't it? Sort of like that, but without the altitude and a little bit less hills. But better.
Without the attitude.
Yeah, without the French people.
With the attitude. No, that's a great 2023 in store.
Yeah, and then the book will be handed in at the end of September. So, you know, that will be then October. I'll be laughing. I'll be looking for something else by then.
October, come back and speak to us about that whole experience you've had.
Oh, that'd be great. It would be
good to see the other side of the summer. That'd be fantastic.
Awesome. It was also, a Christmas wish list is this new book as well that will.
I don't know when it will be. It usually takes. I'm handing it in, but it will take like half a year to edit it.
Okay.
So it'll probably be out for Christmas 2024. Probably Christmas 2024. They take ages. Right. Like I'm used to working in magazines, so I'm like, oh, I'll just write it and then it goes out next month. No, it takes like a year to edit it.
Okay.
And check it and get photos and all that kind of stuff.
I've got to say, I was a subscriber to Children and Magazine. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed
got a T-shirt.
I do have another Dirty Weekend trail running or something.
Oh, is
that,
really?
Yeah, I've got that. That's one of my favourites. That's a Montaigne T-shirt.
It's really good.
It's a really good one.
That was limited edition, that T-shirt. Yeah. Keep hold of that. It might be worth a lot on eBay in about 20 years' time.
There you go. I'll sell that with my big pants.
Still going strong.
But what I really enjoyed, and two things I really enjoyed about that magazine was the kit reviews, but also the route descriptions. And it used to give you from all over the UK, there was different places to go and try trail running and stuff. So yeah. I'm assuming your book is going to have that sort of mini version of that type stuff.
You know what? It doesn't have any routes in it. And there was a reason for that. Because I suggested that, and I think it's to do with, like, copyright from OS. It's really expensive to print maps in books.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah. And also, there's loads of running guidebooks. So this is a running how-to book. But then it depends where you live. So you could only really fit, like, 20 in here. But there are whole books dedicated to, like, you know, like, I've got a book over there called, there's what, Epic Runs of the World. Then Joss Naylor's Lakes, Mirrors and Waters. And there's loads of other running books which actually detail the runs in a really good description. So I think we felt like we couldn't do it justice. But there's not going to be gear reviews in there, but it's like how to choose a running backpack, how to choose a pair of running shoes, etc.
I've got one question on the book. Your favourite trail hack?
Oh, you've caught me on the spot there. But I think my favourite trail hack is if you don't feel like going running and you've got a run planned, get changed into your running stuff and tell yourself you're going on a walk. And then get out the door, go on your walk, and then 5 minutes into your walk, you'll probably feel like running. And if you still don't feel like running, then at least you've been on a walk.
Cool.
That's what I say to a lot of people who suffer with lack of motivation or that kind of thing. Or time to fit it in, that kind of thing. Or I can't fit in my run. We'll just go on a walk. Walk everywhere.
Okay. Talking about time to fit it in, our time here today is limited, right? So let's, if you don't mind, Stephen, do you want to open up that door to the double D?
I always like when we have a guest on from a different part of the UK rather than Scotland, because we get a different dialect dictionary word that we often are scratching our heads at when we first hear it. Building this up here, Claire. The door is open for a submission into the dialect dictionary, the Young Hearts Run Free dialect dictionary.
Yeah, well, I'm from Coventry, so I don't know if there's many words that people haven't heard before from Coventry, but I don't even know if this one is from Coventry, actually. It's batch. So a lot of people call it a bread roll or a like barm cake if you're from Manchester or something, or a bap. But I call it a batch. I don't know if it's from my mum in Portsmouth down south. It's a small bread roll that you'd put sandwich stuff in. I call it a batch.
A batch? I've never heard of a batch.
B-A-T-C-H.
A batch. Yeah.
So you'd have like a bacon batch.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a bacon butty, I suppose, wouldn't it? But you'd have like a cheese batch. Or if your mum said, oh, can you put like six batches into the pram? Into the trolley. Uh-huh. And you'd get like six bread rolls, or, you know, those ones that are all stuck together. I used to call them a batch. And I got to uni and no one knew what I was talking about.
Brilliant. That's exactly what dialect dictionary is all about.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Often the word is referred to in the same sentence as my mum.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Mother tongue.
Yeah. Yeah. John's got a few good ones that his mum as well. So, batch.
I like scram as well. I'd forgotten about scram.
Oh, yeah, that's what goes inside your batch.
Yeah.
Often a pie. Yeah. Like, what is that? A wicked kebab?
You're making me hungry now. We had fish and chips last night, and I've kept the chips. They're in the fridge, so I'm just gonna, after this, I'm going to go and microwave them.
Okay, so before you head off for your chips, I'm interested. No, will you have sauce on your chips?
I might have some vinegar and salt. I did have some mushy peas with them last night, but I ate all them.
Oh, brilliant. Right, okay. I'm now salivating.
John's still trying to get over the fact that somebody left chips. This is an alien concept.
Okay, taking a wee twist towards music now, Claire.
Oh, yeah.
From your description today, you've spent a lot of time out in the trails. You may listen to a number of different things. Obviously, you listen to the Young Hearts Run Free podcast, and we're very grateful for that. But we have our Young Hearts Run Free La Buff Buff collection, currently volume 4 we're adding to. Which song would you like to add into that playlist for our listeners?
Oh, are you going to put it on Spotify or something? The whole playlist?
Yes.
It exists on Spotify.
Oh, I need to play it. So I'm going to go for Lizzo. About Damn Time.
Bachin.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love Lizzo.
You know, it's kind of understated, got a good beat, and it's very, you know, bigs you up, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. I love Lizzo. My daughter and her partner, Samara, they've just got tickets to go and see Lizzo in Glasgow.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm really jealous about that, because I'd love to go and see them.
Yeah, she'd be amazing. I can't wait for Taylor Swift's tour as well. I love her latest album, but it's not really one to run to. She's gone a bit kind of folky in the last few albums, so a bit more relaxed.
Use it for your cool down.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So thank you very much. Lizzo goes in to the Buff Buff collection. It's in. Done it.
I've added it already.
Brilliant. So we shall post that link so you've got access to that. Aware of time is clear, it's a wee bit rushed at the end. Sorry about that.
We didn't want
to do that. This has been a fantastic hour. Really quite quick. A lot of information there. Loads of things to listen back to, some great tips and tricks, and again, your book, we will promote that, and hopefully people will go and have a look at that, and also your website. But I've really enjoyed speaking to you, Claire. It's been a fantastic time, so thank you.
You guys are really fun, and I've really enjoyed it too. Thank you.
No, thanks so much, Claire. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this afternoon. And I'm away to get down another YouTube wormhole with all your content on there, which is...
Well, I'm just away to get chips. That's all I'm going to be doing.
Jealous. Thank you very much.
Hey, now, they've changed how you record. Stop recording.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.